church, thank you for praying tonight, and trust that we will, in the days to come, continue to pray for one another. I'd ask if you would that you grab your Bibles, that you turn with me tonight to Luke chapter number 1, and we're going to look at a Merry Christmas, and you say, well, that looks a whole lot like last week's title, and it does. They didn't get my whole title up here. The whole title is A Merry Christmas, A Thought 2. So instead of Part 2, I call it Thought 2, and we'll roll with that. But let's grab our Bibles, and we'll look together. We're going to look at verses 26 through 38, but Miss Melanie, for sake of time at the outset, let's just read verses 26, 27, and 28 together. The Bible says this, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Father, I pray that in these next couple of moments, that even though it's late on a Wednesday night, Father, that you would just give us an unusual attention to your word. Father, an unusual sensitivity to that which the Spirit desires, Father, to speak to us tonight. And that, Father, that you would just give us an unusual awareness of your presence and your majesty. I pray. That you would work as only you can. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And so we're going to continue as we look at this Christmas season and we consider Christmas type things. My admonition to the church continues to be this. Church, let's lean in. In a world that's largely forgot what Christmas is all about, let's lean in to what Christmas is all about. In a world who seems to be preoccupied with almost anything and everything else, church, let's lean in to what Christmas is all about. And to embrace that we are celebrating Emmanuel, celebrating God with us. We are celebrating He who is wonderful. He who is Counselor, He who is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Christmas time, church, we celebrate Jesus, the greatest gift ever given. And so what we've done last Wednesday and again tonight is we are studying and drawing applications around the idea that having a Merry Christmas, M-E-R-R-Y, can be achieved by having a Christmas like Mary, M-A-R-Y. I'll try not to spell it out too much tonight. It's important to know that as we talk about Mary, and I'm going to stress it again tonight, because so many people get mixed up on this, that Mary was a sinful human being just like you and I. She was not immaculately conceived. She was not sinless. She is not, as some falsely teach, the Queen of Heaven or a co-redeemer with Christ. Mary was susceptible to the same faults as you and I, to the same fears as you and I, to the same frustrations as you and I. Yet God, in His grace, the Bible says, poured out His favor upon her, and she became the earthly mother of the Lord. While Mary was not a perfect person, Mary is a person that we can learn from. And so tonight, we're going to look at Mary's heart again. Last week, we looked at Luke chapter 2, verse 19, how Mary pondered, she contemplated, she meditated on these things, the words and the matters given to her in her heart. And we talked about having a contemplative heart to really pause and give time to lean in to the matters that God has given us regarding His Son. Tonight, we're going to go back to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to see one other thing that we can have that can help us have a Merry Christmas by having a merry heart. So let's look together. Let's reread, beginning in verse 26, and we'll read through 31. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name, church, Jesus. Can I point out something about Mary tonight? Number one, Mary was scared. Mary was scared. Why don't you put yourself in Mary's shoes? Number one, you're minding your own business in your house or room or cottage or whatever it was back then. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. An angel. An angel. Not a spouse or a friend or a relative. Not a young child hiding around the corner. An angel shows up. The angel knows your name. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. Then the angel starts talking to you about having a baby. And not just any baby. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm immediately wondering, what is wrong with me? Like, did I eat something last night? Did we leave the pizza out too long? Is this a dream? Is it candid camera? Am I somehow been swept into a brand new Twilight Zone episode? What is going on? An angel showed up. You know, it's evident that Mary was scared. Because the Bible says, verse 29, that she was troubled at his saying. Cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be, to the point where Gabriel the angel had to tell her, Fear not! You know what Mary was fearing as she began to process all that was going on? Number one, she was fearing the situation. What in the world is going on? She not only feared the situation, I can guarantee she feared the unknown. What in the world does all of this mean? Not only did she fear the situation, not only did she probably fear the unknown, I'm guessing as she started to process the reality that the angel said, you, yes, you are going to conceive in your womb and have a baby, that this unwed virgin teenage girl began to fear possibly not only the situation, not only the unknown, but also others. What are other people going to think? Could you imagine going to the local rabbi and saying, God gave me a baby? Could you imagine going to mom and dad and saying, Mom and dad, God gave me a baby. It was him. Feared what others might think. Probably feared loss, not just others. What would Joseph think? Could you imagine going to your fiance with whom you had a pure relationship with and saying, guess what, honey? I'm going to have a baby and it's God's. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the fear that Mary, this young, probably teenage, probably fairly uneducated, pure young lady had when this angel showed up out of nowhere and said, guess what? You are so highly favored that God is going to let you mother his son. And just even let that sink in. You know, as a parent, one of my biggest worries is that I'm going to mess up my kids. Right? Am I the only one? Like, I'm going to mess them up. And I didn't even have an angel come down and tell me how special they were before we started. I tell you, Mary was scared. Mary was scared. She was fearful of the situation. She was fearful of the unknown. She was probably fearful of others, fearful of loss, fearful of failure, fear, anxiety, the unexpected, the unplanned. Mary was scared. But Mary did not allow fear to rule her heart. Let me show you something else about Mary. Pick up in verse 31 again. This time we'll read to verse 37. The Bible says this, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the kingdom of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." As I read these verses, I see that Mary was not just scared, but Mary was also shaken. She was stunned. She was a bit confused. She was very taken aback by everything that she had just been told, because everything she had just been told was impossible. Okay? Number one, how was she going to have a baby? The Bible says twice in this passage that she was a virgin. That means that she had never known a man physically in a sexual way. She had never been with a man. And ladies and gentlemen, since creation, since God took the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed into his nostrils, then God put the man to sleep, and God took a rib out and made Eve and brought the two together, and Adam said, "Whoa, man," and they became husband and wife. Since that moment, there is only one way that new life comes into the world. I mean, only one way. It takes two to tango. No exceptions. Since creation itself, how was she going to have a baby? Also, did you hear what they said about this baby? That this baby would be great. That he would be called the Son of the Highest. Remember, we're talking to somebody who is young, somebody who is unknown, somebody who lives in a city that not only did not a lot of people know about, but is not a really high esteemed city by the people who know about it. Remember what one of the disciples said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" This baby would be great, the Son of the Highest. The Lord God would give him the throne of his father David. I mean, we all think our kids are special, but come on. And then to see what the angel says in verse number 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob." What is it, church? "He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." You see, if there's also one law of creation that has been in effect, since Adam and Eve kind of blew things in the garden, it's simply this, that one out of one die. Nobody seems to live forever. As Mary begins to try to fathom in her mind what all of this means, and she even asks the angel in verse number 34, "How can any of this be?" An unmarried lady in an unvalued city have a child such as this. And Mary was not just scared, Mary was shaken. I ask you tonight to think of another thought here, that here, Luke chapter 1 is where we meet Mary. But Luke chapter 1 is not where Mary began. You see, Mary was a young lady at this point. To this point, Mary had planned and Mary had prepared for the life that Mary desired. And I cannot imagine that Gabriel's announcement in Luke chapter 1 fit into the plans that Mary had for herself. and for herself and Joseph. And the reality is, as she tried to wrap her mind around what Gabriel was saying, she began to see more and more that everything she had wanted to this point in life, everything she had planned to this point in life, every preparation she had made, every dream she had, was being absolutely upended. Now, this wasn't how she thought it would go. Probably isn't even how she thought it should go. To consider Mary tonight, consider the fact with me that Mary was shaken. But Mary did not allow it to frustrate her heart. You know, Mary was scared, church. As we look and consider the background of the first Christmas, to understand this, Mary was scared, but Mary didn't let fear rule her heart. That Mary was shaken. Everything she had ever thought and dreamed and planned and purposed was shaken, but she didn't let it frustrate her heart. How? How is it that Mary was able to do that? And I believe this, that greater than her fear and greater than her frustration, Mary realized that greater than her fear and greater than her frustration was her God. Remember in verse 37 what the angel said as he ended his proclamation, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." What I want to key in on tonight and what I want us to take with us tonight is what we find of Mary in verse number 38. And the Bible says this, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Mary was scared, but fear didn't rule. Mary was shaken, but frustration didn't rule. Why? Because Mary was surrendered. Because Mary was surrendered. That word she uses there for the handmaid of the Lord, that's the feminine version of the phrase Paul would say when he would say, "I am a servant, a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ." Mary was saying the exact same thing. She said, "I don't understand it." She said, "I didn't plan for it. It seems to mess up everything I thought would be. But God, I belong to you." Mary was surrendered. And what does that mean? That means in that moment, I believe with all my heart, that she surrendered her fear. That she surrendered her frustrations. That Mary was surrendered. And though she didn't understand it, and she didn't necessarily ask for it, that Mary presented herself in faith. Though she was scared and shaken, as a living sacrifice unto God, to fulfill God's will and to fulfill God's word. And church, what a beautiful thing it is that she in turn was blessed to carry, was blessed to mother Jesus, who was God's sacrifice for us. Can I make application tonight? This Christmas season, people, even Christians, are scared and shaken. You know, there's a lot of people who are scared and shaken concerning the things that are going on in this world, concerning the unrest that we see around us, concerning the tensions that seem to be building around us, concerning, for instance, the virus, people who are scared and shaken about the government either doing too much or the government not doing enough. We are scared and shaken. I'm going to tell you, because over and over and over again, we've seen in this year especially how fragile this life is and how this life is far more fragile than we care to admit it is. You know, many are shaken because while we all want to just celebrate and say goodbye to 2020, I think we all deep down know inside that a new year really doesn't mean new circumstances. You know, there are people even amongst us in our congregation who are fearful and frustrated over how this Christmas might go, because this is the first Christmas that they will face without a loved one. If this Christmas they have to face a diagnosis they never saw coming. At this Christmas they have to face the mounting despair and depression that has been building in their hearts seemingly all year long. And I'm going to tell you, there seems to be a mounting tension both in and among people. I talked to pastors. I talked to a couple pastors this week. And the commonality of what they're saying is, it reminds me that, ladies and gentlemen, this storm that we are facing is pretty similar all around us. You know, these pastors communicate how, you know, one of the greatest things they're facing is that perhaps even their churches may end up splitting over masks and things like that. Talk to families who are worried that struggling loved ones might have to pass away alone. Talk to business owners and employees who worried that they could lose it all. You know, on so many levels, things that we see in our culture and things that we see in our own private circumstances, there are wedges between people and there is baggage that people carry that was not there this time last year. In the midst of all of it, church, leaning in to Christmas is not ignoring that all of that is there. It is not for a time putting our fingers in our ears and putting our masks over our eyes and going, "Joy to the world, the Lord," and just pretending like it doesn't exist. That's not what leaning into the season is. You know what it is for you and I as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Having a Christmas like Mary. Reminded that Mary's heart is a surrendered heart. Surrendered to a God who is bigger than our fears. Surrendered to a God who is bigger than our frustrations. Surrendered to a God who is better than our plans. Surrendered to a God who, the Bible says, always gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrendered to a God who always exceeds our expectations. Surrendered to a Savior who came to save us from our sin and who came to support us in our struggle. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And the heart of Mary and the heart of Christmas is not just recognizing the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. It is recognizing the surrender of our own hearts that we are called to bring to Him and recognizing Him and what He has done. It is presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God. With all our fears, with all our frustrations, with all our failures, with all our baggage, presenting ourselves as the servant or the handmaid of the Lord. You know, there are some listening tonight who probably say, "This isn't for me. I'm not scared or shaken." Well, you should be. No, I'm just kidding. But the question remains the same for all of us, and that's simply this. Are you surrendered? Wherever you are at this moment, I pray that as we consider Jesus, as we consider Emmanuel, we will realize perhaps even more fully and more deeply than we ever have before that God has given us all that He is. And this Christmas, just maybe, just maybe, we don't need more of Him. Maybe this Christmas, we recognize He needs more of us. So I ask tonight, as we look at a young lady who was scared, who was shaken, but who was not defined by that, what we remember and we celebrate and we honor about Mary was that even in her fear, even in her frustration, her faith remained paramount, and Mary was surrendered. I'm going to tell you, church, there's no better night than tonight. No better time than right now than to make the decision that Jesus' heart, Christ, is going to rule and reign in your heart. And a Merry Christmas. It's the end, so I can do it again. M-E-R-R-Y. It really isn't about having everything we want. It really isn't about having everything we are used to. A Merry Christmas, M-E-R-R-Y. It's about having a Christmas like Mary. In spite of our fear and in spite of our frustration, recognizing and rejoicing in the reality that Jesus Christ came to give Himself for us. Will we tonight in return surrender ourselves?